This morning, we're going to start, now remember the name of this class is what? What was the class you all signed up for when you came in here? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
You just remember the teacher. I think that's a compliment, thank you. What's that?
Mike's class.
Mike's class. Oh, there's a title to it too, folks, and it was Things Christians Need to Know. Okay? I have to keep that in mind myself sometimes because I'll get all charged up during the week on something I need to teach that. I said, well, is that something Christians really need to know? I mean, you're going to teach a class. That's what the whole class is about. And I'll go, well, that might be good for another time, but maybe right now this would be better. So what we're going to be doing for the next, I think we have 3 more weeks, is talking about praying to get results. You want to get results every time you pray? I mean, you don't?
Well, okay, well. Yeah, but sometimes it's no.
What's no?
When we pray, what we're praying for.
Well, after we're done today, Madge, you won't feel that way. After we're done today, you won't feel that way anymore.
All right.
Okay? Because we've all heard that as Christians. God answers every prayer. It's just that sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes it's wait a while, or sometimes it's yes. That's not true, folks. If you pray the way you're supposed to pray, you get a yes answer every time. And you want a yes answer every time? You want to get what you want? Well, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And I guarantee you, God's Word guarantees you that if you'll do it this way, you'll get a yes answer every time. Not just an answer, but a yes answer every single time. I'll say it again. Every single time. No exceptions. None of this maybe. None of this wait a while. None of this no. Every time. But there's a way to do it. And you have to know these 8 steps. Now, I mean, I know that flies in the face of maybe some things you've heard, but when we get done here, I'm sure you're going to agree this will work because God's Word. We're not going to just haul off and do something on our own here and say, this is Mike's 8 steps to answer prayer. No, this is what God's Word says to do. And he says, well, doesn't the Word of God say if you ask anything according to my will, I hear you, and if I hear you, you'll have what you ask for? That's all the time, isn't it? The key is praying according to his will. Then you get it every time. We're going to show you how to do that. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, first of all, we need to know that there's more than one type of prayer. In the Word, I've dug out about 9 different kinds. And I'm not going to talk about 9 different kinds because we don't have time to talk about 9 different kinds. But there are 9 different kinds. I'll just quickly mention them. There's the prayer of faith, which we're going to talk about in detail for the next 3 weeks. And that's something for you. Or something for your children. Something that you have authority over yourself. Now, when you pray for someone else, that's a different type of prayer. That's a prayer of intercession. Okay? There's a prayer of worship. There's a prayer of consecration. That's like Jesus in the garden where he said, Father, I'd really, if there's any way not to have to go through this, I'd just soon let this cup pass. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the only prayer, folks, you can put an if in. Prayer of consecration. Nevertheless, if it be your will. We don't put that in the prayer of faith. We don't say, God, if it be your will, heal my body. We've already found out in his word, if you study it, it is his will. So you don't have to throw that faith-destroying phrase, if it be thy will, in there. Only the prayer of consecration, where Jesus said, that's the only time you'll ever find in the Bible where anybody said, if it be your will. And that is because he didn't know yet what the Father's will was for sure. He thought it was, but he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. But if there's any way, see, the prayer of consecration in your life would go like this. It's sort of like what we've been talking about last week. Father, from now on, I want to do your will. I sell what I have, I buy the field, and Father, I want your perfect will for my life from now on. Now, Father, if you tell me to get up in the night and pray for someone, I will. If you tell me to go to China and be a missionary, I will. See, if it be thy will. Prayer of consecration, that's okay, yes. But you don't want an if in the prayer of faith. Because the Bible says, therefore, this is our scripture for the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. It says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, and we're talking about the prayer of faith, something you desire, what you want for your life or your kid's life. So you can't exercise your will for someone else. You can't come up to them and say, hey, buddy, let's pray. I'm going to pray that you get, you don't know what this person is believing for. You don't know where their faith level is. But with you, you know. Okay? So it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Okay? That's our That's our text for the prayer of faith. There's also the prayer of intercession. We talked about that for someone else. There's united prayer, where Christians all get together and pray in unity for something. There's the prayer of agreement, where two or three might agree together. Marianne and I do this quite often. Like, we'll say, let's agree that, based on Matthew 18:19, it says, if any two or three shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. Okay? It's prayer of agreement. There's praying in the Spirit. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. So that would be praying in an unknown tongue, or praying in tongues. You can pray that way. There's the prayer of commitment, 1 Peter 5:7. That means casting all your care once and for all on Jesus. In other words, sometimes you want to pray that prayer. Something's bugging you, something, you've got burdens and things like that, and you just say, Father, in your word, it says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all my care upon you, for you care for me. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just get up and out of my chair and I'll say, Father, here's this situation. You said you want it. I'm leaving it with you. Here it is. This is this whole mess right now. I'm casting the care of this upon you. I'm not going to carry this anymore. It's up to you. I'm asking you to take care of this situation. You might mix this with the prayer of faith, but you cast the care completely upon him. It's the prayer of commitment. Yes, honey? You can put something in right now.
In the marriage, you have to be very careful about the agreement. You have to talk things over with each other and see where you can agree before you pray that prayer of agreement. The ear will not be available to your spouse in something that they're not quite ready for. I know that sounds, and it's also very true when saying someone else is coming to you about yourself and not that answer. That's what you do. You go talk to them if you can. They might also be able to agree for.
So you have to really be careful and find out where the two of you are going to pray, come into agreement, and then pray there.
Right, that's exactly right. In prayer of agreement, we always establish ahead of time before we pray. Now, here's what I'm getting ready to pray. This is what I'd like you to agree. Can you agree to this? Well, no, I can't. My faith isn't there on that particular thing right now. Well, okay, if we're going to pray the prayer of agreement, we've got to find out where we can agree. Okay, and we get in the Bible, and maybe for a few days, one of them will have to get in the Word on that thing and meditate in that Scripture until they say, yeah, I can agree now. I have faith in my heart on that thing because I've seen what the Word says. But the prayer of agreement really means that. Agreement. If you're not in agreement, don't pray that prayer until you're ready. All right, and there's the prayer of deliverance from a type of bondage. Prayed in Jesus' name, like casting out devils or something like that. That's another kind of prayer. So there's various kinds of prayer, okay? Now, there's various kinds of sports. You know, there's basketball, there's baseball, there's soccer, there's hockey, there's whatever. All kinds of sports. Are they all played by the same rules? No. And you know, prayer isn't all played with the same rules either. Now, you know, to cover all of this in detail would take us a lot longer than we have. What we're going to do for the next couple of weeks is cover the prayer of faith, because that's the one that can do you the most good the fastest, I think. That is, how to get your prayer answered, the yes, every single time you pray. Something for you, though. Something for you or your children. The reason I say children is because when they're young, you have authority over them and your faith will work for them. Now, when they get older and they know enough of the Word, then they have to use their own faith. So what this prayer we're talking about will work for your kids. It'll work for anyone you have some authority over, that, or even baby Christians sometimes. When they're brand new Christians and they're coming in here for the first time, your faith sometimes can be made to work for them because they haven't really had a chance. God understands. So, but once a person has grown up and had a chance to hear the Word of God, he expects them to apply it to their lives. Okay, so what am I saying? I'm saying this prayer that we're going to talk about, the prayer of faith that you can get your answer to, yes, 100% of the time, is something that you want for your life or your children's life primarily, okay? Now, our text is Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say unto you, Jesus said this, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's our text, okay? Now, what's the first thing you need to do? Step one. There are going to be 8 steps to get a yes answer every time to your prayer. The first step, decide what you want. And then find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Now, people go, decide what you want, that's easy. Find the scriptures. Oh, there's a catch. Hey, folks, listen. Everything that you need in your life that's worthwhile is covered by the Word of God. Believe me. You want a good marriage? It's in here. You want health for your body? It's in here. You want peace for your spirit? It's in here. You want joy? It's in here. Whatever you need that's good for you, that will help you out of a financial situation or a stress situation or a job situation is in here. Okay? It's in here. All right, so the first thing you need to do is to decide what you want. Make sure that you know exactly what you want. One of the things I learned in engineering was, one of the things you need to do, and this sounds so trite or so obvious, you need to define the problem first. So many times what you can do is you can leap into something and get all trying to solve something. You don't even really know exactly what it is you're trying to solve. You just know that there's this problem, kind of, and it's kind of a vague way, and you're trying to attack it in a vague way, but you've never really sat down and said, what is the situation here? What do I really want? And you really need to do that before you pray. You need to decide, what is it I want, specifically? Helps me to write it out. This is what I want, okay? This is the thing I'm getting ready to pray for me, whatever it is. Could be finances, could be whatever. Okay, decide what you want. Even write it down. Put it in a little phrase. This is what I want, colon. Write it out. Because when you get ready to pray, you want to focus in on that desire. Remember it said, therefore, what things soever you desire, what you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall maybe have them. No, he said, you shall have them. All right. So decide what you want first. Then find the scriptures that promise the thing that you desire. We're going to find God's word. That's what's going to build your faith to pray with, okay? Now, what the mistake a lot of people make is they pray too quick. They're not ready to pray yet. And that's why they don't get their prayers answered. Because they just fire off something kind of hoping something's going to happen. Hope won't get the job done. Faith will get the job done, not hope. And when you meditate in God's Word, find the promise, and hear what it says, guess what happens? What comes into your heart? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you find the Scripture. It will put faith in your heart, so that when you pray, you can believe that you receive when you pray. You see that? Okay, so first you've got to decide what you want, and then find the Scriptures. Turn to John, 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at verse 14. Now remember, this is the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through these verses to your heart. This is not me up here saying, this is what the Bible said. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. And he's saying to your heart, and this is the confidence that you can have in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. That's the first thing. Number two, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, what is this saying here? It's saying this. Basically, what it's saying is, it isn't that God doesn't answer prayers that don't ever come into being. It's that he doesn't even hear them. He only hears the prayer of faith. And there's two main things he's saying here. If you want God to hear our prayer, first of all, you've got to pray for something that's according to his will. But the word's full of his will. The word of God is God's will. So that's why you need to find your promise in the word. You understand that? Because we've got to ask according to his will. And if we do, he hears us. Now that's the first criteria, okay? The second one is, he's got to hear you, is really, we shouldn't have any unconfessed sin in our lives. Because Psalm 66:18 says this, if we can see iniquity in ourselves, and that means sin, then the Lord won't hear our prayer. That's what it says in Psalm 66:18. In other words, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we shouldn't have any broken fellowship when we come before our Heavenly Father. That blocks prayer, okay? And it gives the enemy a license to get involved in our lives. We don't want that. But it's so easy, folks. If you know something, and if you don't know anything, don't dredge it up. Don't say, well, I wonder. I'll spend a day here trying to figure out if I got to say, no, you know it. If you got something in your heart, in your quiet time that keeps popping up, all you have to do is go to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, forgive me for this thing. And He immediately forgives you. Isn't that right? Hold your thumb right where you are and turn to 1 John chapter 1. Who is this book written to? Who are the epistles written to, folks? Does anybody want to venture a guess? Us, the church, the body of Christ. Right. In fact, if you want to know that, it says brethren all the way through it and all of that. Look at verse 9 in chapter 1. I want somebody else to read this to me. Who wants to read this to me? Sue will read it to me.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. Is that clear, everybody? Does it take a theologian to figure out what that means? It just says, if we got something that's broken fellowship with God, if we'll just confess it and say, Father, I'm sorry for this, what does He do? He's faithful and just to what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so simple. I don't know why some people, I say this over and over, they seem to hold back from this, like sort of like, I don't want to remind him of that again, you know. I know I blew it, but maybe if I just be quiet about it, you'll forget about it. Maybe you're hurting yourself. Just come before and say, Father, I messed up in this one area. I snapped at my wife. I said an unkind word. I was sharpened with my tongue. I shouldn't have done that. Apologize to her. Tell God you're sorry. And get on with life. Get it out of your system. Get it out of your life where the enemy can't mess with your life. Okay, back to verse chapter 5 again. This is the confidence, then, what we can have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we got to ask according to His will to get Him to hear us. Okay? And if we know that He hears us, what we ask, now we're past, we've got it. We know that we have the petitions or the things that we ask for. So what do we have to do to make Him hear us? We have to ask according to His will. It's two steps. One, no sin. If there's sin, get it out of your life. Confess it. Number two, what is His will? Somebody tell me what God's will is. Asking according to His will. What would that be? Randy just said it. Ask for something in the Bible that's promised in the Bible. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll find out why we need to do that. Not only does the Bible tell us to do that right here, but it makes it a little bit clearer in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Anybody got that? I want somebody to read verse 20 to me. Randy, you got that. You want to read verse 20 for me? Chapter 1.
For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. And it's why we utter the name of the glory of God.
Okay. What promises are yes again, Ellen? Okay. What are yes again? What's yes? All what? All His promises. Where do we find His promises? Hello? I mean, you can get a yes answer to your prayer every time. That's what I'm talking about. It says all the promises of God are yes. Not no, not maybe, not wait a while. You might have to wait a little while. But that's just an excuse for saying it's never going to happen to some people. It says every promise of God, the answer to your situation for that promise is yes, if you'll believe it in your heart. Does it say some of the promises?
All.
Now, are you starting to get a little picture of why you can have your prayer answer, how you can have your prayer answer 100% of the time? Find the promise. Because all those are, His answer is what?
Yes.
Yes. Does it say yes in there somewhere?
No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ.
Okay, yes. See, that's why, back here in the other verse we read, it says, If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have whatever we've asked. What that is saying, really, is if we ask according to his will are the promises in the Word. Can you connect the two together? If we ask anything according to his will, how do I know what God's will is? God is infinite. Nobody can understand God. Hey, he gave us his Word. He told us exactly how he feels about lots of different things in here. He tells us, for one thing, if you study it, he wants you healed. He doesn't want you sick. Okay? That's why one of the reasons he sent his son to the cross. He went to a cross to redeem us from something called the curse of the law, which includes sin, but it also includes sickness and disease and poverty and all those other things. We've been through that in this class. People have been in this class before. See, there's more to our redemption than just from sin. So, you're sick? Promise of God is yes, I want you healed. All right? That's the answer. That's the promise. Now, we're going to find out there's 8 steps, not one or two, and you need to do all these 8 steps. Because, you know, you can't give up on God. You can't go, oh, that's great. I'm going to pray for healing right now. And you pray and you don't see anything happen the first day, and all of a sudden the next day you're saying to your friends, guess that didn't work. Well, you just blew it, because another step later on, it says you can't talk that way after you've prayed. Okay, so right now we're just trying to show everyone that you need to find the scripture in your word, in the word that covers your situation, because when you do, the answer to that is yes. All those promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Do you see a little bit now how we can get 100% answer to our prayer? One thing you got to do is find out what the promise is that covers your situation. All right? I think everybody understands that. Find the scripture that promises you the thing that you want, because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Number two, once you find your scriptures, meditate on these scriptures until faith is planted in your heart. Now, just because you read something once in the Bible and say that, oh, I just read that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, that Jesus has already taken my infirmities and bore my sickness, first time you hear that, it's going to just sound like, You got to meditate on that until all of a sudden it clunks down in your heart and you say, hey, Jesus already took my sicknesses, just like he took my sin. I'm as healed in God's eyes as I am free from sin. I don't need to put up with this any longer. I know, because I'm thinking the same thing she's thinking.
You've been married almost too long. You were walking around the pond the other day, and I said, Mike, you know, this point is so well taken because I have the migraine headache that I had mentioned a long time ago. And he talked to me, and I feel that he's developing 2 day long migraine headache. First of all, I had a headache when he talked to me. It was awful. And then one day, nobody was around me. Nothing. I felt like a boom, boom. And from that day on, I never had a migraine headache. Yes, I had minor symptoms, and I would say, no, I can't drive by. I remember driving the car for you can't put this on me. I'm driving along. In Jesus' name, I found him and I got rid of it. What I'm honestly saying is, it was no longer a dead condition. It took long time. And then when I thought, it's 2 or 3 years, I don't know. But it was only because my own spirit didn't let the gap open. My spirit, my mind in my spirit, that it's over with, praise God. That I know that spirit now.
What scripture do you think was an operation in her life? Is that when she just described, I heard this and heard this and heard this and heard this, and one day it dropped from here down here, and I knew I didn't have to put up with it any longer. What does that remind you of? By his stripes I am healed. That's one. How does faith come? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and opening your mind to this truth and not shutting it out, not saying, no, this can't be that simple, no, this can't be true, hearing and hearing, and finally one day it dropped in her heart, and she says, she just, eyes big, I don't have to put up with this anymore. She says, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, and I refuse to allow migraine headaches in my life anymore. I mean, I've talked to her a long time, but you can't just overwhelm people with things. You can't say, come on, see this. It's got to drop into their heart, and they've got to see it for themselves. So After you find the scripture that applies to your situation, you need to meditate on it if the faith for that thing is not in your heart. You may find this. You may have a financial problem. And you may, like I did, stumble across a scripture that says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you, if you're a giver. Well, if you hear that, that's the scripture for you, in the situation of finances, maybe. That's the one you need. But you may not, the first time you hear that, you may think, whoa, that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I got a financial problem, and I'm supposed to give something away? Seems to me if I got a financial problem, I ought to be receiving something, not giving something away. But see, it's got to get in there and drop down in here to the point where it doesn't have to make sense to this. God's Word says it, therefore it's true. I need to give something away. You know, whatever the Scripture is for you. See, so the first time you hear your promise that you look up in the Word of God, don't be in a big hurry to pray yet unless that Scripture is down here and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's yours. God wants you to have it. Because why? Remember what our text is. Mark 11:24, for the prayer of faith. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And then later, you shall have them. But see, you've got to get to the point where you can believe that you receive when you pray. And you can't do that until faith is in your heart for the thing you want. You understand what I'm saying there? You just can't believe. You just can't force yourself. Well, I'm going to believe. Today's the day I believe. No, it's got to get down here through meditation and the Word of God to a point where it just goes, that's mine. Today I'm taking it. You know, it just, you know when you have faith. It's not a sometime thing. If you're hoping, well, I'm going to try this, wait a while. Don't pray yet. See, we're talking about how you can get answers to your prayer 100% of the time. The answer, yes. Sometimes we can be too quick to pray. For example, you won't get an answer yes if you don't find what God's will is on the situation. You won't get an answer yes if you don't have the faith in your heart for it, because you have to believe that you receive it when you pray, not when you get it. In other words, after you've prayed, it's settled as far as you're concerned. For yourself, I'm talking about the prayer of faith. I'm not talking about intercession or some of these other kinds. But for the prayer of faith, you can settle it right now, because no one is in control of this situation but you and God. You don't have to depend on anyone else's faith. You know when it's in your heart. You know when you believe. And you know when you're ready to pray. So that's why the first step is to decide what you want and then find the scripture so you can pray according to His will. The second step then, take that scripture or scriptures and meditate on them until it becomes real for you, like Mary Ann did. And it gets in your heart, and you'll know when that is. That's when the seed's planted. See, it doesn't do any good for a seed to be out there on a shelf. Out there. It needs to be in the ground. And when you first hear the Word of God, that's a seed, but it's not planted yet. It has to be planted in your heart. And it gets in your heart through hearing and hearing. Okay, is everybody with me? Meditate on these scriptures. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. We always talk about Joshua 1:8. It says, if you meditate in my word day and night, observe to do what it says, then you'll prosper and deal wisely in the affairs of life. And you've heard that so much. And I want to show you that it's not just there, it's somewhere else too. So turn to Psalm 1. Now listen to this. You want to be blessed? That's the very first word in my Bible of Psalm 1. How about your Bibles? Yeah. Blessed? All right. Blessed is the man or the woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You want to have everything you do prosper? Well, here's how you do it. It's right in these three verses. First, starts talking, says, blessed. Blessed is the man that doesn't do these three things. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What would that be? Give me a normal example. Give me an example. The world. How about watching talk shows on TV and saying, you know, Oprah's got a good idea today. That is not where you learn about God. Nor stands in the way of sinners. He doesn't hang around with sinners. If you want to hang around with sinners, witness to them. But don't just hang around with them. You know, I had this one friend I went to the Lord, and he, He figured his ministry was in bars for people. So he'd go out there and get half-looped and try to talk to people about Jesus. I said, no, you're partly right, you're partly wrong here, okay? I had to get him straightened out. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't have a negative attitude about everything. Okay, now how are you going to know what is the counsel of the ungodly? Right. That's why you need to meditate in His Word. Because if you don't meditate in His Word, you're going to not know when an ungodly thing is said to you. If all you hear is ungodly stuff, you're not going to know when a godly thing is said. Because you have nothing to compare with. That's why God is saying, look, don't do these things. Do this. Meditate in His Word day and night. In other words, don't just do it once, but let that become part of your lifestyle. Now here's something that's really important. There's a word in this verse, and I hope it's in your version too, that I can't give you, God can't give you, it only comes from your own heart. Does anybody guess what that is? Delight. Delighting in the law of the Lord. Folks, I'll just cut to the chase here. If you want to have the things that I'm talking about in this classes, the blessings of God, there is no shortcut. You're going to have to sell what you have and buy the field. And if you do that, to do that, you really have to convince yourself that it is the best way. I can't do that for you. And if you do, it's because you delight in the Lord and in His Word. You delight in His Word. That's one of those things that you ever see these basketball announcers are out there, they're talking about the player and say, well, those two players have equal ability, but this one here really gives 100%. He uses every bit of his ability he's got. He loves the game of basketball. Well, the other guy, you know, he's got more ability maybe, but he just doesn't apply himself as well, and that's why he isn't doing any better than he is. Or something to that effect. What we're saying here is there is no shortcut for delighting yourself in the Word of God. I mean, the Bible is the most beautiful, wonderful gift besides the Lord Jesus Christ that God has ever given us. I mean, Jesus is the living Word of God. This is the written Word of God. God's very heartbeat is in this Word here. Sometimes we don't understand this as well as I think we should. That's why you can delight in it. Finally, we have something that's truth. This is truth. It will never let you down. And if you delight in His Word, what will you do, you think? What would be one thing you delight in? Let's say you delight in ice cream. What would you do? Eat a lot of ice cream. There you go. You'd be a Dairy Queen all the time. In the winter even, when it's 20 below outside, you're in there in the Dairy Queen eating your ice cream because you delight in it. What do you do if you delight in the Word of God? You get in here because you're convinced this has the answer. You almost get to the point, folks, where you just got this little kind of internal grin all the time because you know where the answer is. If I'm having a problem, it's in here. God showed me this somehow almost 30 years ago that this is so valuable, Mike. And he gave me such a love for this and such a desire to get in here that Mary Ann thought I was going nuts for about the first month or two after I got saved and filled with the Spirit. She thought it was a different guy she's married to, because before, I never read the Bible in my life. Now all of a sudden, all weekend long, after I come home from work, I'm just reading this because it was alive. It was just speaking to me. And why was it speaking to me? Because I told God that I would do what it said. Well, hello, if you're going to do what it says, God has to get through to you what it does say, doesn't He? And He will open this Bible to the one who delights in it. If you're having trouble understanding the Bible, maybe you're having a little problem delighting in the Word. You know, maybe you're not convinced that your answer is in here and you're reading it out of obligation. Do you think God knows the difference? I think He does. I think He knows. But folks, when you begin to see that your treasure for life is in this Word, you can delight in it. Because this is where the answer to all your problems are, is in here. It's easy to delight in something that's got the answer, isn't it? I mean, that's wonderful. When you see it that way, you'll delight in it. And you'll meditate in it. And guess what will happen? Verse 3. And if you do this, listen, you're going to be like a tree planted by the river. Now what's the difference of a tree planted by the river and a tree planted in the Sahara Desert? One gets watered all the time. Did you know that water is a type of the Holy Spirit? You want the Holy Spirit flowing through your veins all the time? Get in the Word. Plant your roots in that Word. It's by a river of water when you do that. You think you're dried up, things aren't working too good, things just don't seem to be real, Christianity seems to be a little bit of a bore. Hey, you got your roots planted out here in the desert somewhere. You're not getting any life coming up through those roots. You're withering. Your leaf's fading. You know? Hike up your roots and go somewhere else. Either that, or make the ground moist where you are. One of the two. And you can do that, folks. You really can. Now listen to what happens if you're a tree planted by the rivers of water, which means somebody that's meditating in the Word of God, means somebody who's delighting in the Word of God. Guess what happens? If you're planted by the river, what doesn't happen to you? You don't what? Wither. Your leaf doesn't fade. Now, what would cause a tree or a corn, let's say, to wither? No water. No water. All right? And so, corn can wither. Now, every once in a while, a drought comes along, right? I mean, this has been a dry summer. Did you know that you can be, as a Christian, immune to drought in your life? Because if you got your roots planted by a river of water, it doesn't matter if it doesn't rain, as long as that river's still there, as long as the ground's still moist, who cares? You don't care. Now, what do I mean? Well, how about recession? You want to be recession immune? God's not bound by recessions. Did you know that? God doesn't just throw off his arms and say, I want to bless all these people. Now what are we going to do, Jesus? We're really messed up here. We're trying to bless all these people. We got a recession in the United States. Well, I guess we'll have to wait till the recession's over. Does God do that? No. He's not bound by a recession to bless you if you've got your roots planted by the water. See, what this means is you're subject to the whims of other things if you don't have your roots by the water. Drought comes along, recession comes along, you got to go through it with everybody else. But if you get your roots by the water, by that river, you don't have to go through it. That's what God's trying to say here. And the way to do this is to delight yourself in His Word, get in here, find out what it says, and do it. And then when you pray, before you pray, find the scripture that applies to your situation, the truth, then meditate on it till faith comes in your heart. That's the first two steps. Everybody got steps one and two down? I got eight of them. All right, let's see. Let's move on a little bit here. There's some more scriptures. I wish you'd read Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Because it's such a wonderful example of what I'm talking about here. How are you doing so far? Is everybody with me? You got steps one and two down for getting your prayers answered 100% of the time? Now, in case you're wondering what steps one and two are, I've got a big one, a big two out there, so you can keep track of what these steps are. So when we get done with this, you're going to have something you can refer to. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, or my daughter, is talking to me. When I see that, I say, God's talking to me. He's talking to Mike Fitzpatrick. I can read it this way. Mike, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why, Lord? For their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Doesn't this sound a little bit like that parable of the treasure in the field? Listen, when you're attending to his words, when you're inclining your ear into his sayings, when you're letting them not depart from your eyes, you're searching the field for your treasure. That's what you're doing there. Then when it comes down in your heart, keep it there. All right? Why? So you can get the treasure. What are the treasures? Well, life, everything you need to live a good life. Everything that you need to live a life that's going to give you complete joy and peace. What else? Health. Want health? Anybody got health problems? The answer's in here. Health to all their flesh. Health to part of your flesh? Health to your left arm? No. Health to every part of your body. Now what's the key here? Verse 23. Therefore, you might say, keep your heart. Now, here's the key, folks. Don't lose this. You want God's blessing in your life. Well, first thing you need to do is get into his word. Find out what it says. Then when it gets down in your heart, like Marianne described a while ago, keep it there. Now, don't let anything else in there. When it says keep your heart with all diligence, what this is really saying is this, folks. Keep the gate to your heart open to only certain things. Keep it with all diligence. If I keep, you know, something, keep a gate with all diligence, what am I doing? I'm only letting in things that I want, aren't I? I'm shutting the door to things I don't want in there, right? I'm shutting the door to talk shows in the middle of the day, their philosophies on life. I'm shutting the door to anything that's not God's word. I mean, I don't have to just hear that, but I mean, I'm shutting the door to my heart. God's stuff that's ungodly may go through my head, and I'll get it out as soon as I can, but I'm not going to let it down here. Because whatever you get in here, folks, whatever you get down here is either going to be a blessing for you or a problem for you. Okay, why? Because Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, we're talking about keeping the gate to our heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Whatever you got in your heart, you're going to say. And if you say something and you believe it in your heart, you got that thing started in your life. That's what you're going to get. Because Jesus said right before, he said Mark 11:24, he said Mark 11:23, and he said this, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. If you believe it in your heart, Jesus is saying, and say it with your mouth, you're going to get just that. What he's saying is, what we are right now, what we are today, is what we've been saying yesterday. And believing in our heart, saying yesterday. Okay? And so, that's why we've got to guard the gate to our heart. Because whatever gets in there is going to come out of our mouth. That's what Jesus said. Because out of the abundance of what's in your heart, your mouth's going to speak. So make sure that when you speak words of life, not words of death. Because death and life are both in the power of the tongue. Either one, it's up to you. And then it says this in Proverbs, the tongue of the wise, though, is health. You want health in your body? Don't talk sickness. Don't talk, I've got this cold, I've got this flu, I've got this situation, I've got this allergy, I've got this thing that every year at this time it crops up. I get the summer cold, I get the winter cold, I always get the flu in February. All that junk that if you believe it in your heart, says your mouth, that's why you get it. You got the cart before the horse. You think you're getting it every year, and you're getting it every year because you're saying you're going to get it every year. Don't say it anymore. Say what the Word of God has to say. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I don't get sick anymore, folks. I'll just say that right out. It sounds radical. But, you know, and if symptoms do come, I look in the Word of God, I say, I blew it somewhere. I got to fix this thing. But God doesn't want us sick. You know, I mean, I've lived this for, you know, Marianne's sitting right there. You know, we've learned how to deal with sickness in our family. We know what to do when those symptoms try to come off. We get up in the night and say, no, you don't, Satan. The Word of God says, you're the problem. You're the source of this stuff. And I'm not putting up with this anymore in Jesus' name, in my life. So you can do that in your life. Whether you can help someone else or not depends upon what they believe. Now, if you can get them to believe what you believe in your heart, and if it's positive and good and Word of God, then maybe you can help them get there. But you just can't go up and lay hands on any old person and say, be healed in Jesus' name, and expect them to get healed, simply because it depends on them too. We're talking about something for you. You control your situation. You control what you believe. Okay? And so that's why you can get an answer, yes, 100% of the time for yourself. Okay? Go ahead, Derek. So, that's why when you meditate on the Word of God, you're doing two good things. You're getting the Word of God in your heart, and you're keeping the gate open to something good. If you're not getting the Word of God, and you're getting the Word of the world, you've got your gate of your heart open to something not good. And folks, you get that stuff in there, it's hard to get out. I don't want to hear unbelief. I don't want to hear bad things, because it gets stuck sometimes on you. Careful what you think, because while it's still up here, it hasn't done any real damage yet, but if you let it roost there, whatever you let roost there is going to find its way down here. Okay? And that's the danger. So if you can control what you think, you don't have to really worry about keeping your heart. And God's just giving us a way here in Proverbs 4 of controlling what you think. If you attend to his words, incline your ear into his sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, what are you doing? You're keeping good thoughts in your mind that can clunk down in your heart. But if you got TV on all the time and you're watching that stuff and you read the Bible 10 minutes a day, if that, you know, you're not going to get the good things in your heart, and when you need it, it's not going to be there. And what you're going to have is a bunch of junk in there, and then when you need something, out of the abundance of your heart, the words are going to come out that do not match God's word. He is not going to be able to help you in that situation. That's the long and the short of it. Okay? So we have to make a quality decision. If we want the things of God in our lives, if we want the blessing, we're going to have to quit just getting in the world's way of doing things. Listen, some people say, well, I don't watch TV much, or I don't do worldly things much. Folks, every little bit hurts. Everything is potentially damaging that's not in line with God's word. Because what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by whatever. If you want things of God, faith cometh for that by hearing the word of God. If you want faith in the world, faith cometh for that by hearing the word of the world. And the more you hear the world, the less you're going to have faith in your heart for the things of God. I heard a guy say one time at a seminar I was at, he says, folks, you know, he says, it's like paddling a canoe upstream. All the time that you're learning the word of God, it's not a rapid current, but you're kind of paddling upstream. He says, to move backwards, you don't have to do anything but quit paddling. And if you just quit reading the word of God and don't ever get in there and let the world's ways, folks, will gradually seep in there. They will. Doubt will come in. Your faith will be weak. Things won't happen. Your prayers won't get answered. And you're going to wonder why. And that'll be the reason. Now, this morning, I've given you some good reasons, some good things. How much time have we got left? We got any time left? Not much. Okay, next week we'll get into forgiveness. That's another thing that we have to be careful of, unforgiveness in your prayer. So we covered the first two. Next week we'll try to do 3, 4, and 5 maybe, okay? The next steps. Nancy.
Make a comment. Every day I get up and read the Bible. It may only be just for a second. That's all the time I got left before I go to work or, you know, what. And this last week I was rushing around. And I thought, oh, I got to get time in there to read some of the Bible. And I sat down and I've been trying to start from the very beginning of the New Testament, starting to read through that. Okay, I got 5 minutes. And it's just almost like time stops. So I'll read my 5 pages and I'll go, oh. And I'll go, oh, gee, I got plenty of time now.
Yeah. If you've only got 5 minutes, you know how to get 10 minutes? This is the word of God. Get up 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Well, it works for you. I try that, but sometimes it just doesn't work.
Okay, let's get started with our homework. Last week, we started a new series that's going to take us through the end here. It's going to take 3 weeks. Praying to get results. Everybody like that idea? I mean, when you pray, why not go for the gusto? Let's get some results here. And last week, I made this rash statement, and I'll make it again today. If you'll do these 8 steps, now this is the prayer of faith we're talking about, or the prayer of petition. If you'll do these 8 steps, you'll get an answer yes to your prayer every single time. A lot of people just check out when you say that because they've not experienced this in their life, but they don't do these steps either. God's word says if we'll do what we're talking about here, we will get answers to prayer yes every single time. We talked last week about the types of prayer. Then we said, after we described some of the different types of prayer, that we're going to talk about one type of prayer these 3 weeks, and that's the prayer of faith. That's when you pray for something for yourself primarily. In other words, you don't have to depend on someone else's faith. If Marianne and I are praying together about something, and I can't pray with her in complete faith because I don't know where exactly she's coming from, and vice versa. But when you pray for something for yourself personally, or for your children, because you have authority over your children, you can pray the prayer of faith 100% of the time if you'll do it this way and get an answer yes to your prayer. Now, we talked about last week the first 2 steps. There's 8 steps. The first 2 steps were decide what you want, number one, and find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Now, everything that you really need is covered in the Word of God, so it's not a cop-out. I mean, you know, if you need healing, it's there. You need finances, it's there. You need peace for yourself, you're stressed out, it's there. You need a good marriage, it's there. It tells you how to do that. Number two, then meditate on these scriptures until faith comes in your heart. Because faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing what? Hearing by the Word of God. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you need to, first of all, decide what you want and find the Scriptures that promise you that. And step two, meditate on these Scriptures till faith comes in your heart. That's what we covered last week. Now, those are the first two steps. Let's go over our homework, and then we'll move on to some more steps after we're done with our homework here. Number one, true or false? There are several types of prayer. True. There are, aren't there? There's prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of worship, intercession, and other things. All right. True or false? One type of prayer is the prayer for money. True or false? False. It's not a type of prayer. I mean, you can pray for money, but it's not one of the types we talked about last week, prayer for money. Okay, good. You got that one right, too. Once you learn how to pray the prayer of faith, it will work for any other type of prayer, too. True or false? Why do you say it's false?
Because, for instance, when you're praying the prayer of faith, you're praying for yourself or somebody that can do it on their own.
Right. And so it won't work for every other type of prayer. For example, the prayer of consecration is a prayer that you say, Lord, I'm consecrating my life to you. If you want me to go to China and be a missionary, I'll do that. Whatever you want for my life, Lord, I'm willing to do. That's the only prayer that we should ever pray that has an if in it. See, but that's a different type of prayer. You pray according to different rules. All right. Very good. Thank you, Madge. Now, in the following questions, we're talking about the prayer of faith only. Okay, so keep that in mind. True or false? We should only pray with the words, if it be thy will, if we are truly unsure of what God's will is in a situation. True or false?
False.
False. Good. Jesus said that if we would believe we receive what we want after we pray, that we would get what we prayed for. True or false? Boy, there's silence on that one.
Wouldn't that be false before we pray?
Or when you're praying, yeah.
When you're praying,
yeah, before or when, not after. See, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall have. So, really, you should believe when you pray, before you pray. All right. Jesus said that we must truly desire the thing that we're praying for if we are to get it. True or false? That's right. You know, it says, what things soever you desire when you pray. And that's, I think sometimes, man, that's the reason we don't get answers to our prayer, because we don't really care. I mean, somebody comes up to us and says, hey, I got this situation. Would you pray for me and be in prayer about this thing? And you go, oh, sure, you know, whatever. You know, and they're concerned, but you're really not. And so out of an obligation, you say, oh, yeah, I told him I'd pray about that thing. Okay, Lord, here, I'm going to pray about it. You don't know the kid. You don't know the situation. Maybe they want to pray for your kid or something. Or you don't know that they have a nephew's, a friend of their nephew that's having trouble, and they tell you about this, and you say, well, sure, I'll pray. Because you're not going to say, I'm not going to pray, right? And so you go and say, oh, man, I didn't pray about that. I better do it. And you do it out of obligation. So you ever do that? Told that person I'd pray. Hey, you don't really desire that. May as well save your time. What things soever you desire when you pray. James chapter 5, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervency. What does that mean? You really care when you pray. See, so that's true. What Matt says is true there. Okay. Jesus said that we must believe we receive our prayer answer before we actually see it, if we are ever to receive it. True or false? True. True. Good. Faith is defined in Hebrews 11:1 as the evidence of things we can see. True or false?
False.
False. Why is it false, Ellen? Right. Anybody can believe in what they can see. Hello, I believe in my hand because I can see it right here. You know, I believe my hand's right here. You know, we're supposed to believe in things we can't see. You know, it's got to be in line with the Word of God, though. I mean, to know this, to believe in something you can't see, that's why you need to know it's covered by the Word of God. You can't see it, but you've got God's Word that He wants you to have this thing, you know, like healing or something like that. Okay. Before we pray, we should make sure that God's Word promises the thing we want. True or false? Excuse me? True. That was step one, wasn't it? Find the things you desire in the Word of God. Right, I mean, if you're going to pray in faith, you can't really pray in faith unless you know that God says, this thing is my will, and that His Word is His will. So on healing or something like that, where you know it is God's will for you to be healed, you can pray in faith. All right, before we pray, oh no, the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes, true or false? True. See, that's why we can pray the prayer of faith. Because the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You in Christ Jesus? Yep. Well then, all the promises of God in the Word of God are yes. The answer is already yes. But you have to pray in faith, and that's why you have to get in the Word of God to find out what it promises in there and to know God has a yes answer for that particular thing. See what I mean? And that will build your faith, and you can pray in faith then. It's really quite simple. The Bible says that we receive not because we ask not. True or false? True. A lot of Christians, and I don't say a lot, but there are some Christians who believe that God will just give you anything that He feels you should have, and if He doesn't feel you have it, you won't get it. And so you may as well just sit back, live your life, do the best you can. If God wants you to have something, you'll get it. If He doesn't, you won't. And it's a life of passivity. That's not the way God said to live. He said you need to ask.
Some people expect to believe that because they think that God, and it's true, that God already knows the need, because He knows all about us.
Right.
And so they could believe that. But all they have to do is go and listen to it.
That's right, Madge. In fact, God covers that in His Word. I think it may be Matthew 6:8, I'll look. Jesus said this. He said, for your Father knows you have needed these things even before you ask. You're still supposed to ask. He knows about it. And the people are right that far. Well, He knows about it, but He says, before you ask. He knows about it, but you need to ask still. Right, right. They think God's just going to, if they need it, God will just drop it. But He says, I know what things you have need of before you ask. You're supposed to ask. Good.
You know, when you're in a relationship, it's a good relationship. You're not, you talk to each other.
Yeah.
What you need or you want. If you're in a relationship with God, I think some people think they are in a relationship with God, but they never really talk to Him, or they never listen, or they never...
Right.
You know, so it's the kind of relationship sometimes you see in a marriage where it's very one-sided. You know, where the other person doesn't say what they want, and the other one just lords everything over them, and that's really not much of a relationship.
No, it's not.
So we've got to ask. I mean,
right. These same people that are saying this, if God wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me, are praying the Our Father. Stuff like that, where it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this day our daily bread. Well, He knows you need food, right? So why ask Him that in the Lord's Prayer then? I mean, they're not even consistent. You see what I'm saying? They pray prayers like that, but yet...
Well, I think one of the most important things is when you talk about the different types of prayer, because most people think there's one type, and they all include... If it's your will.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's a faith destroying.
No, and, you know, I think that's just really important that you bring that out, because, you know, I myself have felt like that wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. So you don't really argue with those people, because you can't really put your finger on why you feel that that's not right.
Yeah.
So it's like, aha!
Yeah.
That's my
see, you can't. That's why you need to find out what His will is. That was our first step. Find that out first. You know, because, I mean, if you just, we use our heads sometimes. If the Word of God says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. Believe then, have faith. Well, then, that settles it, that if it be thy will. If you tack an if it be thy will on it, how can you have faith if you don't know what His will is? You can't. It's just like stealing. It says in James 5, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You have these same people that call people to come up forth under that scripture saying, well, we don't know for sure whether these people are going to be healed because sometimes God will heal and sometimes He won't. Well, then how in the world are you going to pray the prayer of faith if you don't know what God's will is? You see what I mean? There's no way you can pray the prayer of faith. Faith means that you have the answer now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. When you pray the prayer of faith, you have the evidence already of that answered prayer, and that's why you can believe that you receive when you pray. That's faith. All right? So the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So right away, that tells you God's will is to heal, right? Because you can't have faith that he's going to heal unless you know what his will is. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if we just read these...
His will was strong enough that his son bore the stripes for our healing.
That's right. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. See, in God's eyes, you've already been healed. Now what we need to do is begin to let our confession and how we believe start lining up with what God's word says. It's just like salvation. You'll go around every day and say, oh God, save me, do you? I mean, no, that's been an accomplished fact 2,000 years ago. People that you're getting saved today just found out about that truth. A lot of people are just finding out about the truth of healing, too. Just like you said, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Okay, let's see. Sometimes we can be too quick to pray. We should wait until we know it's covered by God's word and until we know we have faith in the promise to pray. True or false? True. Sometimes we can be too quick. See, we got 8 steps here. Most people jump right to the one step and just start praying. And that's fine if you've already got the faith and you've meditated on the scriptures, or you have before and it's in your heart. But if it's not, better slow down here and get this in your heart first. Because when you pray, you need to believe that you receive at that instant. All right. Once we find the promises in God's word, we are ready to pray. True or false? I've got down true or false. It depends on how you interpret that question, really. Right. You've got to have, right. You got the promise, but if you haven't meditated on the promise, you may not have the faith yet. But on the other hand, if you thought I meant by that, once you've got the promise in faith in your heart, it's okay to pray, then it's true. So I went through that this morning. I thought, wait a minute, this could be either way. I answer these in the morning usually of the... It wasn't intentionally tricky. It wasn't intentionally tricky. She knows me pretty well, doesn't she? All right. Okay. True or false? We should meditate on the promise until faith to receive the promise comes into our heart. True or false? True. Don't pray until you know that God, that it's in your heart, that you have the faith for this thing. James 1, 5, and 6 says that if we lack wisdom, I can ask God for wisdom, and he will always give it. True or false? True. It says, James 1, 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And I'll have it. Now, he does go on. If you answer that false, because of the next verse, I'll give you credit for that, too, because it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wind, or waves tossed by the wind. Let not that man or woman think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. So again, if you lack wisdom, he's going to give it to you, unless you don't have faith that he's going to do it. So that could be either way too, I guess. All right. If I don't know what God's word says about the thing I'm getting ready to pray for, I should go ahead and pray, but be sure and look it up later.
False.
It's too late to look it up after you've prayed. Okay, good job. I think the next four, I moved those to next week's homework because we didn't get to cover that last week. So let's just save those for next week. Very good. You know, you're getting the point here. Yeah. Yeah.
Monism, which you said earlier, you're going to pray for. Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't go ahead and say that, or
no? No. I think you should get interested in it. Probably. Try to, you know, get their compassion going. I tell you what, sometimes you can't pray with people about certain things. I mean, you know, somebody says, pray, ask God that I'll get more faith. Well, faith doesn't come by praying and asking God for more faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't pray for faith. It's not scriptural to pray for faith.
You shouldn't even say it unless you know.
Well, you've got to be tactful, too. You understand what I'm saying here? I wouldn't just say, oh, I'm not going to pray for that. I don't know the kid or anything like that. What I would try to do is find out enough of the details here and try to, you know, if they think enough to come to you, if it's not just an off-the-cuff thing, come to you and ask you for your prayer, I would try to get enough detail. What's the child's name, or if it's a child, what's the situation here, and try to enter into the concern that this person has. So when you do pray, and then just really get before the Lord and pray about this thing because you're concerned. I mean, don't just blow it off and just do it out of guilt. You know what I mean? If you find yourself doing that, stop. I would. And just say, Father, you know, I just started praying this prayer because out of obligation, I'm starting over here. I want to pray for that child because they're really broken up over this, and this child needs this situation. And be compassionate about it. Get some compassion for it.
And something like if your child is sick, or anybody else's child, do you pray for them every day or the one time?
If you got a child, and you know what God's Word has to say about healing and with your child, get that faith down your heart, lay your hands on that child, and pray one time for your own kid, okay? That's something, so you have authority over those children. They're your children. Until they become an age of reason, until they know and have this for themselves, your faith is what God's looking at, okay? And you can get down there and pray the prayer of faith for those kids.
If I don't have the faith, it's not going to
well, then,
heal or help?
Probably not. But what you need to do is go back and get in these scriptures, find out what the scripture said, that Jesus already took their infirmities. He bore their sickness. He wants them healed. It's his will. Jesus never turned anybody down. See, as you read those scriptures and get them in your heart, you'll begin to see this as, you'll be eager to pray then. You'll say, God wants to heal my child. Now, see, you get that down in your heart. But if you approach it with doubt, well, I don't know. We'll do the best we can here. You know, we lay hands on him. He gets healed. He gets healed. If he doesn't, he doesn't. See, you're not ready to pray yet. You need to find out what the promise, that's why we started off. The first step is to find out what God's will is. And in terms of healing, God's will is always to heal. All right? But you can hear me say that. But just me saying that, there's certain people in this room right now that don't believe that. I know that in my heart. I'm not condemning anybody because they haven't heard it enough. They've heard other things their whole life. You never know what God's going to do. You don't know. You know, he might be as well to heal, might not. See, until you get it established in your heart, like Ellen was saying, that by Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. Okay? Unless you're interceding for someone, like, that's a little different prayer. We're covering the prayer of faith. Yeah, the prayer of faith, you pray once about a particular situation, and leave it with God. And then you thank him for the answer. Well, see, that's coming in the next steps. That's part of what we do later then. Well, after we pray. Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Even though you don't see instant healing or you thank him for it because you know that he's doing it.
See, that's why you need to wait till you have the faith to pray. Because what makes people pray over and over is because they didn't believe the first time they prayed. Smith Wigglesworth, who's a great man of God, you never heard him, said this. If you've prayed seven times for the same thing, you've prayed at least six times in unbelief. For something for yourself, that is, I'm talking about. You've got to ask yourself, see, this question, what can I believe God for? Can I believe God that when I lay hands on that boy, he or girl, or whatever it is, he's going to be healed? No, I'm not really there. Okay, what can you believe for? You want to believe that he's going to go through surgery and come out great. The doctors are going to be amazed at this recovery. That the Lord, hands of the Lord will be on that surgeon as he's operating. Then if that's, yeah, I can believe for that, then that's what you should pray for. You should then see, whatever you pray for, if you really believed you received when you prayed, why would you pray again? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you, but I'm anybody. Why pray again? I mean, if you truly believed you received when you prayed. Now, if you got out of faith, you can just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I blew it. I haven't believed anything here. I said I believed. I've gone this way. I've been saying negative things about this situation. I got to start over again. You can do that, you know. But then pray that one time and go on with it. Okay?
Is it wrong to pray like somebody comes to you and you truly care about that person and what they're going through, and you just say, Lord, I don't really know everything in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking that you take it and that you do what's best for everybody concerned. Is that a...
Well, see, that's not really the prayer of faith. That's another kind of prayer. We're talking about the prayer of faith. That would be, when you pray for someone else, other than your own children, or a baby Christian, okay, where you can have some authority in the situation. But when you pray like a mature Christian, somebody else, that's not the prayer of faith. Now we're talking, you're at a distance, you're praying, that's intercession. That's got different rules.
Is that wrong?
No, sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes you go in there and I say this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll pray as far as I can go with what I know. And then I'll say, Father, you know, and I ask you for anything else I don't know about the situation to minister to these people in the way they need it right now. I don't know everything about this situation. That's okay. That's intercession. That's a little different type of prayer.
A lot of times I pray like that for people that mm-hmm. ask me something. I don't really know the whole situation. I know that God does. And I just ask that.
There is a type of prayer for that situation. When you get to the end of what you know to pray in English, that's when you're supposed to move on to another kind of prayer. But Romans 8:26 and 7 says, when you don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. You pray according to the perfect will of God. Sometimes we just don't know. Okay. A lot of times, you really, if you have an opportunity to teach people before, if they have a situation they don't know, you need to get the scriptures out and look. Say, here's what the promise is. Now, okay. Now, you want me to agree with you? This is what the Word of God says. Are you ready to agree on this, or you want to get together maybe in a few days and think about this? Because when we agree, we agree. That's it. See, this isn't a game we're playing here. This is the way things work in the Word of God. Faith is very important. It's got short shrift in a lot of churches and stuff. It just, well, you know, do the best you can. But most prayer is strong hope, really, when you get right down to it. And you can't pray a prayer of faith unless you know what God's will is before you pray. Because faith is, you have the answer. You believe you receive it now. And you can't just gin this up by being real determined. You've got to find out what God's will is in that situation. Then you can be sure. And that's why I say the first thing we need to do, find the scripture that promises you what you want. And it's for everything you need in the Word of God. You need to know your way around the Word of God, is what it amounts to.